All right, well, we're again in the Gospel of John. This is amazing. It doesn't matter how many, as we were talking about earlier, it doesn't matter how many times you go through the Gospel of John, there's always something new. Like any part of God's Word, right? You read it, you study it, right? And then, oh, wow, I didn't know that before. Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's nice. That's neat. The opposite of someone whose heart is dull and spirit is dull. Well, we already studied that, Pastor. Why are we doing that again? That was the lesson back in Epiphany. We don't do that now. That's not part of the lectionary. There's so many rules and regulations. But we will get to that here in a little bit. Definitely. Quite an interesting story, but I've heard so many sermons preached on this about Jesus getting ticked off in the temple, having a tantrum in the temple and cleaning house. And they missed the real point of why he did it a lot of times. But anyway, it was time for the holidays. Now, we know what it's like around here of Christmas time in our world, right? Everybody gets distracted and they forget the real reason for the season. Well, we're not the only ones. And even this time and place, because back in the days of the Bible, the Old Testament, of Jesus, Passover had the same problem. People having no clue for the reason for the season. That Passover, where the lamb was killed and the blood was sprinkled over the door, was so that the angel of death would pass over that house and save them, right? For eternity, for that matter. And so they were supposed to reenact that and remember how God had miraculously delivered them and to focus on God and the coming Messiah, the coming Lamb of God, who is not only the Lamb of God, but the Passover Lamb, who and all the sacrifices are encapsulated in Jesus. But they missed it. So Jesus, it's time for Passover. So it's crowded, I'm sure. Jesus goes up to Jerusalem, and in the temple courts, what does he find? People praying and praising God and raising their hands in worship, feeling the Holy Spirit, feeling God's presence, loving people, in fellowshipping people. No. Can you imagine? You've got cattle, you've got sheep and doves, like having an animal farm coming in here and just parking them right here, animals right here, and trying to have worship. Can you imagine the sight? The smells, the sounds, and you're trying to worship, right? Little, you talk about distracting, right? That's what was going on. So here you have the Creator of the universe, right? You've got the Lord, the Savior of the world, and all this is supposed to be about Him. And He comes into His Father's house and He sees all this. Well, how did Jesus handle it? Oh, well, I guess I'll try another temple, another church. No. Jesus was not happy because it's His Father's house. This is my dad's house. And how dare you do this to my Father's house? And the Bible says that zeal for your house will consume me, from the book of Psalms. Jesus, it cared a lot to Him, right? About His Father's will, and His Father's house. Imagine if you're going to your parents' house and you see somebody throwing mud on it and throwing garbage on it. It would not be very happy. You wouldn't say, oh, well, that's the way it is nowadays. You just got to be accepting. Got to be tolerant of people. No matter what they do, it's okay. No. Say, hey, what are you doing? We would protect that property. Jesus felt like He needed to protect His Father's house. And, well, we'll get in that a little bit. But anyway, here it talks about zeal will consume me. And it did with Jesus. He was full of enthusiasm. The word enthusiasm, you know what that literally means? God inside. Theos. Theo. God. God's inside. If God's inside of us, there should be something happening, right? It should be, ho-hum, church is over, goodbye, church, see you next week. If there's not a change, if there's not a reaction of God's presence engaging in the Lord of the universe, there's something wrong with us spiritually. This is a house of prayer and worship. We'll get to that. But hopefully there's a little bit going on there, fire in the belly and the soul of being connected to Jesus. 46 years ago today, for the first time I encountered the Holy Spirit at a retreat when I was 19 years old. 1974 with a lot of hair. But, yeah, long, long time. But I remember experiencing the Holy Spirit for the first time. And I go, what is going on here? I've never felt this before in church. I'll never forget it. But we are called to have zeal, to be aglow with the Spirit. Now, there can be misguided zeal. People can be very zealous for a cult, for a misguided cause, or do it lovelessly, that's not what we're talking about. But zeal definitely consumed the Lord. And he got the whip, right? He made the whip out of the cords, drove all the animals from the temple courts, both the sheep and the cattle. He scattered the coins and the money changers and overturned their tables. So everything is upside down. He's cleaning house, literally. He is cleaning house, right? He's just getting rid of all this. Now, what were the purpose of the animals? They were sacrifices, right? And if they were poor, they could at least have turtle doves. You imagine these doves flying all over the place too. It was crazy. But what had happened is that, of course, the Jewish leaders thought, oh, this is how we can make money. Because we can't allow Roman coins in God's temple because it'll defile it. So we need to have money changers to change the money into acceptable coins. And we can probably charge, oh, let's just add a little bit to that for these people. They're from out of town. It's sort of like when they add all these taxes to our hotels out here because we don't use them. So other people come here and use them. So we'll charge them. Well, that's what they did. They charged people a lot. So it's all about money. All about the money. And isn't it sad what man can do to what God creates, whether it be the church, worship, or whatever, get in the middle of it and ruin everything. And that's what was happening. So Jesus got rid of all the animals, turned upside down all the money. Can you imagine the treasure going, oh no, let me get some. And people probably scrounging around getting as much money as they can, right? It was a crazy scene. And guess what? This happened twice in Jesus' ministry. It didn't happen once. It happened twice at the beginning of His ministry and at the end of His ministry. He had to do it again. Just like He had a miraculous catch of fish. Beginning of His ministry, the end of His ministry. He cleans house in God's house twice. And sometimes, well, we need to keep cleaning house. And that's another thing we can talk about. In our spiritual house, what needs to be cleaned up? We all have stuff we need cleaning up, right? We need to get that sanitizer of the soul, soul sanitizer of the blood of Jesus, and cover us with His blood and forgive us, as Pastor Rick reminded us in the prayer of confession, and be renewed and restored and refreshed and cleansed once again and have a nice, clean house. That is our soul. Because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? So now the temple goes from a physical building, actually went to Jesus, and then comes to us. And what I mean is that, because the Jews said, well, what sign can you prove with your authority to do this? Jesus said, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. They replied, it's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple He spoke about was His body. After He was raised from the dead, His disciples recalled what He'd said. So it went from the physical temple to Jesus being the temple, housing the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit being together and God in the flesh being there. That became the temple, not the building, right? And they didn't get it. Totally didn't get it. But we have a little Easter phrase in here, right? In this text. Because He said, you destroy this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days. Jesus was going to die for the sins of the world, right? 3 days later, what happened? He rose. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed, yes. It's not, we don't just have to say it on Easter Sunday. Every Sunday should be Easter, that Christ is raised from the dead. And He's victorious over sin, death, and the power of the devil, and any problem that comes in our lives. Remind yourself, I remind myself, Christ is in control. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Invisible Monday. Last Monday, for some reason, I was just kind of having those holy hangovers, you know, and like, oh, boy, I got to go to work. And then I got a phone call, 7:45 a.m. from one of the case managers I work with, that a 40-year-old mom of mine that I work with had died. And she has cirrhosis of the liver. She was drinking. That's the second 40-year-old mom that's died within 6 months of my caseload. Beautiful, attractive, articulate, classy. And what a waste, what a waste. But to hear that message on a Monday morning, it took me all week to kind of, and still not recovering from it. So you never know, right? And I don't know where she is now, spiritually, I don't know. She had a foul mouth, a very angry woman, but she listened to Caleb, and she would use a lot of colorful language. And one time she used the Lord's name in vain, and she did say, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to use that name. And so I'm hoping that little bit of faith, that she called on Jesus in her last hours. But anyway, we never know what a Monday morning or any day is going to bring, right, Donna? All this stuff. So we need to know that we have God in our hearts, and that Jesus went from the temple building to Jesus being the temple, and now we house the Holy Spirit inside us. We're the temple. So where we go, God's glory goes. Where we go, God's presence goes. His light that the world needs so much. So go out and let your light shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? Let it shine. Amen. Quit putting it under a bushel basket. Hide it under a bushel? No. Don't you try to poof it out. COVID, they're going to poof it out. I'm going to let it shine. The true everlasting light that will never go away. We pray that God would never take that light out of our hearts, because, boy, it's not good. We've all lived in darkness, right? Ain't no fun. It ain't no fun. But boy, with the light, no matter what, how much darkness is around us, keep shining that torch of the light of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Be aglow with the Spirit. Amen? So Jesus was not very happy. And in the other lesson, in the end of Matthew, he says something which became the title for this sermon, even though it wasn't mentioned exactly in this section of Scripture. But he talks about the fact of why the church is there. He says, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." So that's why I have the theme, House of Prayer. There were, a few years ago, we'd gone to Des Moines, Iowa for the conference, and I went down from Des Moines, Iowa to go down to see my folks. But on the way, I made a stop, because about a month before that, I was at a conference, and they were talking about going to IHOP in Kansas City. I go, why go to... Sorry about your competitors we're talking about, Bill. IHOP, you know, sorry. It's not Denny's. But anyway, they're talking about IHOP in Kansas City. You've got to go to this IHOP in Kansas City. Like, what, do they have special pancakes in Kansas City? Why go there? There's just one down the street. That's crazy. Well, they weren't talking about pancakes. They were talking about prayer. International House of Prayer. And so I drove... I drove from Des Moines to Kansas City, and I went there. Unbelievable. 24/7 prayer, constant. Worship and prayer. They have different bands coming in. One's there for a while, then they have another one. And it's nonstop. 24/7 prayer and praise. Constant. And it is a wow. Oh, my goodness. And I got goosebumps just remembering the feeling of being saturated in prayer and praise nonstop with a bunch. I was the oldest person there, a bunch of young people. And it's all day and night, 24/7. Amazing. And there's a move of God in the whole world. Peter Gregg is leading. I don't know how they're doing it now, probably virtually, but 24/7 houses of prayer all over the place. And they use art, they use music, they use prayer and praise. And they have a little prayer rooms with candles, and it's just a Holy Spirit saturated place of worship and praise. That's what the church is supposed to be about, right? Engaging and connecting with the God of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and with the Holy Spirit setting us on fire with zeal, passion, praising and worshiping and experiencing God's presence. Some reverend doctor, not me, wrote a book. I will never write a book. I hate writing. And Pastor Rick kept waiting for me to come up with this highfalutin definition of prayer. It never happened. So he came up with one, which I really like. And we used to have a poster. If anybody knows where it is, after we painted in the fellowship hall, somebody put it away somewhere. But this is the definition of prayer that he came up with. Prayer is seeking the Lord, entering His presence through Jesus Christ, and having a heart-to-heart conversation with God, guided by the Holy Spirit, that leads to transformation. Yay and amen, right? So it's seeking the Lord, looking for God. Some people go to church, they're not even looking for God. Have no clue, just do their thing. No connection with God whatsoever. Connectivity. Oh, boy, that's another thing. I'm trying to figure out my computer. Why it gets connected and I lose it, and then it comes back. And the hot spot is not so hot, believe you me. It drives me crazy. And some people spiritually get connected and then are disconnected, right? They get connected and disconnected. Sometimes disconnected for a long time. Sometimes disconnected for the rest of their lives. Which is, we pray that the light will come back on. Turn on the light, Lord. Turn the light back on. And so we want to leave the light on for people here. We want to keep the light going so that others can be caught in to experience God's presence. So that's why Jesus got ticked off at church. People were missing out on engaging with God in worship. David reformed the temple. Nehemiah, Ezra, and all those, they tried to keep bringing people back to true worship, right? And the real purpose of prayer. Jim Cimbala wrote a book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. And I remember that, we used to read that, and it had the DVD. And he totally transformed a church in downtown New York City by prayer. He was an exhausted pastor, sick, with pneumonia. He says, I can't do this anymore. And God says, well, finally, come to your senses. You can't do it anymore. Why don't you ask me for help? I'll carry the burden for you. I'll lead your church. And God did, and he did. He sought out God in prayer. So prayer is an amazing thing. This is called a house of prayer. When we come here, we can pray about anything, right? And who shows up? God is here, right? His wonderful presence. And we thank God for that. But you know those people there in the temple, they totally forgot why God had created the temple in the first place. And there are a lot of businesses that forget why they're in business, so they have consultants come in and remind them, well, what business are we really in? And ask the simple questions to remind them, why are we in business? Oh yeah, that's right. We should be doing about the customers. About a month ago, I talked about Progressive, my wonderful insurance company, because I had to get tenants insurance, and I already had auto insurance. I was going to bundle because Flo said so. So Flo with her wonderful apron there, looking so like she's going to help me out. Flo did not help me out a month ago. I had to change my password 4 different times on one Saturday just to try to get in. I says, your website recognizes my email address over here, but when I try to go to my tenants insurance over there, it says, that's not my address. I know my address. You don't know my address. And it's my address. So please recognize it. Oh, we recognize it. No, you don't. Maybe your department does, but the... And I says, you have to electronically sign this or we'll cancel your insurance. I can't sign it because I can't get into it, right? So that was going on for a month. And then finally I said, forget it. And I procrastinated. Well, the 21st of July is coming up real quick, right? Because that's when they said they're going to cut off my insurance. And if they cut off my insurance, that means I can't be in my apartment because I have to have tenant's insurance to stay in the apartment. So they said, well, we can't help you. Call your agent. I go, what? Well, you can't help me. No. And I said, well, my agent, and God bless him, but he's blind. He is legally blind. And he has an assistant. And I couldn't get a hold of an assistant. I go, you know what? I'm going to try one more time to call Progressive. I call Progressive. And they said, we're all about customer service as they wait on the line. We're all about you. Oh, yes, you are. Yes. And I'm losing my Christianity here a little bit. I'm going, yeah, and I'm talking back to the recorded message. You don't care about me. This could be recorded. Oh, are you hearing this? I hope you are recording it. They transferred me to 10 different, 8 or 10 people. I said, oh, I know the person. Oh, you know the person. The next person I talk to will really help me. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes. So they connect me. Got disconnected twice. Then I called back. I just got disconnected again, and they keep sending me a different person. Please send me the right person. Oh, we will. We will. We will. We will. So about 45 minutes later, this real nice lady, how y'all doing? How can I help you? I said, well, I hope you can help me by, I need to get my tenant's insurance fined. Oh, we can help you. We can help you. And I said, yeah, I've heard that before. He said, no, we are a little department here in Progressive. Nobody knows about us hardly, but we're the ones that fix this. Well, thank you. I go through it. And then the autocomplete had the wrong username. And so now she's trying to fix it. And she's doing the right thing. And I've got the wrong username now. After all this, I go, oh, no. So she said, well, maybe you should talk to your agent. Maybe he can help you. I said, okay, thank you. So then I thought about it, and then I realized I put in the wrong username and did what she'd asked me to do to begin with, and finally got it. The point of all that is, Progressive and other companies too can say, oh, we're all about people and serving and customer service. Well, put your money where your mouth is, right? And do it in action. And there are places that have good customer service. There really are, right? I was starting to wonder about that yesterday. And so when the lady who delivered my pizza was so nice, like, you don't know how nice it is to have good customer service. You are wonderful. Here, how much do you want for a tip? Here, I'll give you anything. It was so nice to have a caring person for the first time talk to me. The church can forget. The world called to love. Every single person comes through that door and welcome them, right? The church can forget that it's all about Jesus, not us. It's not like, well, I don't like the carpet. I don't like the music. I don't like this. Well, it's not about us, right? It's all about the purpose of the church is to worship God, right? It's to go and bring disciples from all nations into the church, so to reach out to others, love all people to Christ. We're called to know Christ and grow in our faith, go to the foundations class and keep growing, go to Bible classes, go to Wednesday, and be engaged in worship, engaged in the Word of God, grow in our spiritual gifts and talents, and do something for God, and then reach out, right? That's what the church is all about. Acts 2:42 talks about they devoted themselves daily to the apostles' doctrine and teaching and prayer. And they sold everything, and they had everything in common. They worshiped, they broke bread every day, and they praised God and enjoyed the favor of all the people. And then the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. That's what the church is supposed to be about. We need to reform the church, restore the church to what God had the purpose for, right? He had a good idea. And it's real simple. It's to worship God, love people, and bring them into God's kingdom, right? Everything else is secondary to all that. And so hopefully you're experiencing God here today, right? God is in His house. And this is the Father's house. And there's a song that's out that's real popular now, The Father's House, by Corey Asbury. Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. And my story isn't over. My story has just begun. And failure is not won't define me, because that's what my Father does. Failure won't define me, because that's what my Father does. Oh, lay your burdens down, oh, here in your Father's house. Check your shame at the door, because it ain't welcome anymore. Oh, you're in the Father's house. Arrival's not the end game. The journey's where you are. You never wanted perfect. You just wanted my heart. And the story isn't over if the story isn't good. And failure is never final when the Father's in the room. And failure is never final when the Father's in the room. So lay your burdens down here in the Father's house. Amen. Right? Amen. Because when the Father comes, He brings miracles. He brings love. He brings forgiveness. And all the blessings this world has no clue about. But we rejoice and we experience, right? And we praise God for that. We really do. In your study of Habakkuk, you probably read a verse just this past week that talks about the fact that God's going to do some amazing things in His house, right? In the world. He's going to do things that are so utterly amazing that people will shake their head and be utterly amazed at. And they'll say, those people will be looking and they're going, wow, how did you do that? And God's still doing that today in Jesus, right? He's still doing that. And in Isaiah, it talks about the purpose of the church. It said, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. That's why we're here. That's why we gather, right? So, and there's a, by the way, there's a wonderful devotion that it must be selling like hotcakes, right? Jesus calling. And amazing devotion. If you're looking for a real good devotion book that really speaks to you, it speaks the God's Word and the Holy Spirit and God's presence, I guarantee this book will do it, because it's an amazing book. It says, rest in me, my child. Give your mind a break from planning and trying to anticipate what will happen. Pray continually. Ask my Spirit to take charge of the details of this day. Remember that you're on a journey with me. When you try to peer into the future and plan for every possibility, you ignore your constant companion who sustains you moment by moment. As you gaze anxiously into the distance, you don't even feel the strong grip of my hand holding yours. How foolish you are, my child. Remembrance of me is a daily discipline. Never lose sight of my presence with you. This will keep you resting in me all day, every day. That's why Jesus was restoring and cleansing the church, to get it back to that. But He knew people. Jesus knew people's hearts. It said this, that after He was raised from the dead, His disciples recalled what He'd said. Then they believed the Scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while He was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the sign He was performing and believed in His name. But Jesus would not entrust Himself to them, for He knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for He knew what was in the heart of each person. So all this accolade, oh Jesus, we love You, we love You. Yeah, they said that day, but would it change? And we as pastors, people say, oh, I'm going to sign me up, I'll do this, I'll do that. And some do it, but a lot don't, right? And it's real easy to be cynical, and we don't want to be cynical. My stepmom said, don't trust anybody. That's not right. On the other hand, trusting everybody is not right either. It takes discernment. Jesus had discernment. He didn't go by the praise of people. He went by the praise of one, only one, His Father. When He heard the Father say, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, that's all He wanted, is the Father's will, the Father's approval, the Father's vision. Well, maybe us with us too. As Jesus cleans house, is He still cleaning house today? Absolutely. He's still at it. And using even COVID to change the church, or all the big mega churches, they're not open. It's little churches like us. We're staying open and preaching and loving and proclaiming and experiencing the presence of our great God. And may God continue to be with us and keep sending us Holy Spirit. This always will be a house of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.